We will never fully understand the Christian life until we first understand grace. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us understand not just what grace is, but how to experience it.
Has there been a day in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I did not ask you, did you take communion? I did not ask you, did you take catechism? I did not ask you if you were baptized. I asked you, have you accepted God's only plan of salvation, His Son's death, burial, and resurrection? That's the gospel message.
Life is full of opportunities to make mistakes, occasions to feel guilty, and the pressure to be self-sufficient. But this isn't how God intended the Christian life to be. In our series, Portraits of Grace, we will discover what it means to receive a second chance from the Lord. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, we will learn more about Bible characters who were portraits of God's amazing grace. No matter your circumstance, God's sustaining grace will help you when you need it the most. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Grace to Walk.
The Bible says in Galatians 5:16 that we are to walk in the Spirit. The Bible says in John 15, we are to abide in Christ. And here we see a man who really pictures for us someone who truly walked with God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. He was born 622 years after Adam, and so he was, of course, one of the first men that ever lived. And he not only was born in that early time of world history, but he would have also more than likely lived his life in that Fertile Crescent area is now likened unto perhaps a modern-day Iran border, and in that area where many believed the early creation took place and where the early inhabitants of the earth lived. Enoch was a man, unlike all the others mentioned in Genesis 5, who walked with God. None of the others had that said about them. Now, I don't know what will be said about you or me in latter life. I don't know what will be inscribed about us on our tombstone should the Lord tarry in His coming. But I could not think of a better description of a man than John walked with God. Joe walked with God. Sally walked with God. That's the kind of man that Enoch was. And I want you to learn with me this morning a little bit more about what it means to walk with God. And I want you to notice, first of all, Enoch's relationship with God. The Bible tells us that his name was Enoch, and we know that in many of the Bible names there is a particular meaning. For those of you that are taking notes, the word Enoch or the name Enoch means dedicated. Dedicated. Here was someone who was dedicated to walking with God. This was the determined desire of his heart. How many have noticed that you don't just accidentally walk with God? It's not something that just happens automatically. It's something that we're dedicated to. It is, first of all, an abiding relationship. An abiding relationship. In fellowship, Enoch walked with God. This was something that was very well known of him, that he had a constant fellowship with the Lord. It wasn't maybe that he didn't talk about baseball or basketball. If they would have had it, perhaps he would have. But the foremost conversation, the foremost thought in his life was the power and the glory and the redemption and the honor of God. That was what he was known for. I heard of two guys that were in a gym and they were talking together, and one of the men said, "My wife treats me like God." And the other guy looked at him and said, "You mean she worships and adores you?" His buddy replied, "No, she ignores me till she wants something." Now, many times that's how we are with God. We sing to God on Sundays, we learn a little bit about Him on Sunday, and then when we're in trouble, we want God to be right there, but we're not walking with Him all the time. He's a part of our life that we sometimes place on a shelf and then take off the shelf and then put back on the shelf. But that's not how it was with Enoch. He was walking with God, constantly listening, constantly hearing. Now, I want you to look in your notes and see what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, God says, I'm going to dwell in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so Enoch had this constant work of walking with the Lord in fellowship. And I believe he walked with the Lord in fellowship because he knew the Lord by way of reconciliation. He has trusted the Lord, and he has received the grace of the Lord. You see, the Bible tells us that man originally walked with God in fellowship. Man had perfect peace. Adam and Eve walked with the Lord. But then the Bible tells us that sin broke that fellowship. Notice in your notes in Genesis 3 and verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You remember the Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, with Adam and Eve, sin came into the world. And so in order for Enoch to walk with God, he must approach God with a heart of repentance. He must receive the grace of God in order to walk with God. Enoch had been reconciled to God as a penitent sinner who called out for mercy and grace. And his walk with God was established by grace. And your walk with God and my walk with God is established by grace. How many of you would agree with me? We are not worthy to walk with God. It's only by his grace that we walk with him. So when it says Enoch walked with God, it is describing for us a relationship of grace. It is describing a man who knew who he was, and he knew who God was. He was a sinner. God was the Savior, and he was walking with God by grace. Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherewith we stand and rejoice in hope and glory of God. You see, Enoch could not have walked with God apart from salvation. He could not have walked with God apart from believing that God alone could forgive and that the Son of God would one day shed his blood upon the cross. You see, all of us must come to God as Enoch came to God, as sinners believing in the grace of our God. And so this is why he had a close relationship. This is why he had an abiding relationship. Enoch walked with God in a way that was close because he understood the grace of God. But not only was it an abiding relationship, I want you to notice, secondly, it was a constant relationship. It was a constant relationship. The Bible tells us in verse 22 these words, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, this walk with God had a beginning point according to the scripture. And if you caught that in verse 22, it said he walked with God after the birth of Methuselah. From the time his son was born, this man Enoch became very serious about his walk for God. Enoch is seen to have walked with God specifically after the birth of his son. May I say this morning that we need dads who will walk with God? Many times we see men and women when they have a family beginning and their firstborn comes, they realize this is a big deal. This is a bigger responsibility than I can really do by myself. And they come to church and they're saying, you know what, I need God's help in this matter. And that's a wise husband and wife, and that's a wise father and mother who says, we need to have God's help in this matter. And so Enoch began walking with God when Methuselah was born. Now let me give a word of caution. Don't simply walk with God so that you can have help with your children, because if that's the case, when they graduate from high school, you're going to be gone. Make sure that you have a personal walk with God because you need his grace in your life too, you see. But it was the birth of Methuselah that triggers the beginning of his understanding and his awareness. Hey, life is heavier than I can handle, and I need God's help if I'm going to raise Methuselah. And Enoch began walking with God seriously at that point in his life. And the Bible says he walked with God all the way until the time of his death. He walked with God for 300 years. He died at the age of 365. How many of you would say that's some consistency right there? 300 years, he walked with God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:15, "See then that ye walk with God, and not as fools, but circumspectly." In other words, God says, "I want all of you to walk with me in a constant, abiding relationship." I was reading a while back about Charles Lindbergh. Back in 1927, he was the first man to fly across the Atlantic. And one of the things that was noted with respect to his airplane, the Spirit of St. Louis, is that by the time he finally flew it across the Atlantic, he had taken many things and basically taken them off the airplane. And the last item that he took off the airplane before he finally made the flight were the brakes for the airplane. They literally said, "You know what? These things are too heavy. Let's take these off. We've got to be as light as we can." And many said it was symbolic of his commitment that there were no brakes on that airplane. They were not going to stop until they fulfilled their goal of flight. And here we see that in the time of Enoch, Enoch said, "Nothing is going to keep me from walking with God. I want to be faithful in my journey with him." And in so far as he could, every single day of his life, he constantly walked with God. He was in relationship with God. Oh, what a blessing to see that this man's life was a life of constant faithfulness to the Lord. But notice not only his relationship, I want you to notice, secondly, his relinquishment. His relinquishment. You see, if you're going to walk with God, there will likely come some things that you're going to have to let go along the way. In the case of Lindbergh, it was the brakes that were too heavy. He had to relinquish them. The Bible says if we're going to run the race that is before us, we sometimes must lay aside the sin and the weights that do so easily beset us. We cannot carry them and win. And I'm telling you this morning that there may be some in this room that before you step into a fall season, there may be some things you need to relinquish if you're going to be able to walk this walk with God, if you're going to be able to run this race. It may be a sinful issue. It may be something that's not necessarily a sin, it's just a hobby, some habit, and it's a weight that needs to be relinquished if you're going to win the race. David Livingstone, the Scottish Presbyterian missionary who went to Africa, he began his journey with several mules packed full of pots and pans and books, they said, enough for an entire library. And by the time they went several hundred miles into the heart of Africa, they had relinquished most of their pots and pans, and all of the books had been laid aside and given away on the journey until when he reached his destination in the heart of Africa, all he had left was his Bible. That was the only book he had left. Why? He learned to travel light along the way. And there may be someone here today with bitterness in their heart towards a family member. There may be someone here with some addiction or sin in your life, and it must be relinquished if you will walk with God all the days of your life. Now, I want you to see why I use that word relinquish. Again, in verse 24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God." The first thing I believe that we must relinquish is we must relinquish to God's timing. We must learn how to relinquish ourselves to the timing of the Lord. Now, this is a very simple thought, but here's why I say this today. Enoch did not run with God. Enoch did not jog with God. Enoch walked with God. Now, I don't know about you. Sometimes I have trouble with patience. I like instant coffee and instant copies and In-N-Out burgers and anything that can get done quickly. I struggle with patience, but sometimes we need to learn how to just walk with God, how to allow God to work on his timetable. Sometimes it's easy for us to run ahead of God. Sometimes it's easy for us to forget. The Bible says in Psalm 27:14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." You know, sometimes we have to just learn that we need to sit still and let God say what he wants to say. And just learn to wait on the Lord. His voice will override. His voice must be heard. Micah 7:7, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." How about you? You know, some people, they walk with God for 10 years and then they go through a discouragement. Then they get upset about something. Then they get back to church. Then they walk with God a while. Then they get discouraged a while. But that's not what it says about Enoch. It says for 300 years he walked with God. I'm thankful for a grandmother that for nearly 80 years has walked with God. You see, our responsibility is to wait on the Lord. Sometimes things don't go the way we want them to go. We must wait upon the Lord. We must follow the Lord. Jesus said to his early disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And so we must relinquish ourselves to God's timing. And secondly, we must learn to relinquish to God's calling. Notice in verse 24 again, it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." For God took him. The verb here implies that suddenly the walk extends now from earth to heaven. Imagine that. One day Enoch is abiding with God. The fellowship was sweet. The love was so strong. And the Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was no more. He was instantly translated to heaven. Only two men in the Bible is that said about, Enoch and Elijah. And here we see that he is taken immediately to be with God in heaven. In fact, turn if you would in your Bible over to Hebrews for just a moment, chapter 11. I want you to see something there. And we're going to come back to this passage in a moment. But look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. The Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him." The word "translated" tells us that he was transferred from one place to another. And you know that in this instance, Enoch is really a picture for us of what the rapture of the church will be like. Jesus said, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also." And I believe that there will be people alive on planet Earth when Jesus Christ comes again, and that we will rise up with him to be with him in the air. In fact, notice in your notes there in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, those loved ones of ours who have gone before us in death, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When God created Adam, he was a living soul. And so our loved ones are with the Lord at this very moment. But the Bible says at the time that he comes for us in the clouds, that those who've gone before us will receive their glorified body. And then those of us that are alive and remain will also receive our glorified body. And we will be with the Lord, translated to be with the Lord for all of eternity. But Enoch did not have to wait for the rest of the Old Testament saints in resurrection. Enoch was instantly brought to be with God, even as those who will be at the time of the rapture. Enoch gladly, no doubt, relinquish this earth for a place in heaven with God. And so it was. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Perhaps there are people in this room that it will be said of you, you were faithful to the Lord until the trumpet sound and you were no more. God took us home immediately to be with him. How many of you would say, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly"? Amen. That's the promise that we see in the rapture of the church. Now we see Enoch's relationship. Enoch walked with God. He abided with God. Notice Enoch's relinquishment. He relinquished his pace. He relinquished his schedule in order to be with the Lord. But then I want you to notice something finally. Enoch's reliance. Enoch's reliance or trust in the Lord. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of the circumstances Warren Wiersbe said. And I want you to turn back now to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's see one other passage that speaks about this man, Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, I want you to notice, first of all, concerning reliance. Our reliance develops a testimony for God. I don't know about you, it's a blessing for me to see people who walk with God over time. Several pastors that were with us this past week were celebrating 25 and 30 and 40 years in the ministry, marking their ministry in the decades. They had been walking with God. And the Bible says here that Enoch had learned to rely on God and trust in God. And the Bible says that because of this, in verse 5, he had a testimony of faithfulness. How many of you this morning would say, Pastor, I want for my life a testimony that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the word that is used here. Did you see it in verse 5? He had this testimony that he pleased God. The word testimony means an affirmation or a good report. And when you rely on the Lord and when you trust the Lord over time, you're going to have a good testimony. Now, sometimes people say things like this. Well, you know, it must have been easy for Enoch because, I mean, after all, you know, they didn't have any kind of television. They didn't have pornography. They didn't have Facebook and social media and all these things. They didn't have all the traps that people have. Good night. They didn't even have a bowling league back then. Sure, you could walk with God. It was boring. And we get the idea that today's real bad, but everything back, you know, beyond the pilgrims was probably pretty good. Well, look at what the Bible says about Enoch's day in which he lived. Genesis 6:5, it's in your notes. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil. How often? Now, that's a reference to the antediluvian period, or the period before the flood. Before God destroyed the world with the flood, and most every religion declares that there was a flood. And why did God flood the world? Because every man did that which was only evil, and they did it continually. Why do I bring that to your attention? To say this to you, that Enoch did not walk with God simply because it was easy to walk with God. Enoch lived in a very wicked time, yet he was walking with God faithfully. And because everyone else was wicked, but Enoch was faithful, Enoch had a testimony that he had a true walk with God and faith in our Lord. And I just share with you this morning, I know how corrupt our culture is, but it is possible to walk with God, and Enoch is the proof that it can be done. Amen. It was not a good society, but Enoch kept trusting his Lord. He had a testimony of faithfulness for his Lord. Enoch laid aside every sin and every weight, and day by day, he just took another step and another step and another step, and he was faithful to his Lord. May God give us men and women in this church who decade after decade after decade, after good time and bad time, are walking with the Lord and having a testimony that says, my God is real and our relationship is real. Not only did he have a testimony of faithfulness, notice he had a testimony of truth. In other words, his life was not some private matter. You know, the society in which we live seems to say, all right, you can believe in God, just don't tell everybody about it. And I don't believe we should be obnoxious, but I'm saying to you that when you walk with God, other people are going to know it.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you visit or live in Southern California, we would love for you to be our guest at Lancaster Baptist Church, Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 11 o'clock. You can find out more about our times and locations when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.